Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for who you are. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this word. Lord, your people came out, Lord, in inclement weather, Lord, to worship you. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that as they've come out to worship you, Lord, they've also come out to hear from you. So, Lord, speak into their hearts those things you'd have them know. Speak into your heart, their hearts those things you would use to have them grow. Lord, speak into their hearts. And, Father, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen, amen, amen. Well, we just got finished celebrating another Thanksgiving Day. And for those of you who have been around this church long enough, you know that the sermons that I usually give for Thanksgiving always take place, or most of the time, they take place after Thanksgiving is over. They take place after all the food has been put away, after all the festivities have ended. They take place after Thanksgiving, because I believe that Thanksgiving should not be a one-day event for a follower of Christ. Thanksgiving for the Christian should be the way we live. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we have to give thanks in all circumstances. That's the will of God for our lives. And those of us, you know, you say, I want to know the will of God for me. What do I do for the will of God for my life? Well, the will of God for your life and the will of God for my life is that we would be thankful people. And when every time you say thanks to God, you are in God's perfect will. You're not just in his permissive will. You are in his perfect will. In fact, it says give thanks for all things, and in all things. And somebody says, well, you know, Pastor, you have to give thanks in all things, but you don't have to give thanks for all things. Well, if you look at Ephesians 5:20, it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is the will of God that we are always thankful in every circumstance, and we are always thankful for all things. Amen. Have you ever been in a circumstance where somebody should have said thank you to you and they didn't say it? Or you felt like somebody should give thanks and they didn't give thanks? You ever been in your car? This happens to me a lot. You ever been in your car and you know so nicely you say, well, let me let this person out. And so you stop and you let them out and they don't even look your way. Have you ever had that happen? They act like, well. You don't even care if they even look. Even if they just give you the wave, you'll be happy. Because that's acknowledging the fact that you let them out. They're saying thanks. Well, there's a lot of times when that happens and people don't say thank you. And you just want to just say, you know what? Oh, they hit you. But we don't do it. But we want them to say thanks. And what I want you to look at of that little story I just gave, how does that make you feel when people don't say thank you? How does that make you feel? You find yourself sarcastic if you're like me saying, you are welcome. Or you have been done something for somebody, they don't say thank you. Like, you're welcome. But you don't really mean you're welcome because they never said thank you. You know, when they don't say thank you, you want to take back what you did for them. And in gratitude, that's what it creates. It creates a take back moment in our lives. I want to take it back. Well, I don't want to create take back moments when it comes to God. How many of you don't want to create take back moments when it comes to God? I don't want to create those moments. Therefore, what we want to do when it comes to God, we want to provide God with a thank you. We want to tell God how grateful we are. We want to have an attitude of thanksgiving towards God. In fact, in Psalms 100 and the fourth verse, and some of these verses I'm not having you turn to because they're such quick verses. In Psalm 100 and the fourth verse, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's telling us everywhere we go, we need to be praising God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. David said this. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His name will continually be in my mouth. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Jesus says, after we put on our new self, he says this in Colossians 3:15. After we put in our new self, Paul says this to Christians. He says in Colossians 3:15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And then he says this, and be thankful. Our entire being should be that of thankfulness. Amen. Our entire being should be that of gratitude. We should be a thankful people. So today I want to deal with this issue of thanksgiving. And the message title today is simply this, the power of giving thanks. The power of giving thanks. There is a power in two little words. Thank you. And in fact, everybody say it right now. Thank you. There is power in those two words. But it's not just power in saying thank you. That's not what we're talking about today. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about giving thanks, not saying thanks. In fact, remember when you were a little kid? Because sometimes you can say thank you under protest. Remember when you were a little kid and somebody did something for you, or they gave you something, and your mother would say, what do you say? And sometimes you would agree. You would say, thank you. But sometimes you said that thank you and you didn't mean it. Sometimes you said that thank you depending on what they gave you, what they did for you, and you didn't really want it. You said thank you because they told you to say thank you, but you didn't really want to say thank you. Haven't you ever seen that little movie, The Christmas Story? That little movie about Ralphie. Remember Ralphie got that pink bunny suit? That ugly pink bunny suit. And I guarantee his mother, when he was around his aunt who gave him that suit, he had to say thank you. In fact, every 9-year-old boy knows that that ugly little suit, he would have never wanted to wear it. But he had to say thank you. You can say thank you, but saying thank you is not giving thanks. Amen? Because when the Bible talks about giving thanks, the Bible talks about making thanks and offering, having a thank offering to God, where you're giving God thanks from the heart. The thanks that you're giving God is not thanks under protest because somebody told you to say thank you, but it is thanks out of the heart where you are giving God the gift of thanks. You're giving God the gift of praise. You're telling God that you appreciate him, not just for what he does, but you're appreciating him for all of who he is. That's why the Bible doesn't speak about saying thanks. The Bible speaks about giving thanks. Amen? In fact, look at your neighbor and say, we're not talking about saying thanks. We're talking about giving thanks. Because you know what? There's no power in just saying it. The power is when you're giving it. There's no power in just saying it. It could just be words. The power is when you're giving it. Because it's coming from you. You're rendering it. You want the person that you're saying it to have it. So we're talking about the power of giving thanks. So let's investigate this a little further. Go with me to John 6. This power of giving thanks. We're going to look at this today. This John, the 6th chapter. And we're going to look at 5 things that take place when we give thanks. 5 things that happen in our lives when we're willing to give thanks to God, when we're willing to say those 2 words from the heart, when it's a thank offering, when it's a praise offering. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, God convicted me about this sermon this week. The place where I work, we gave our clients Thanksgiving food, but we got it from ShopRite. And as I'm sitting there eating it, I'm saying to myself, this food leaves something to be desired. This food, Holy Spirit was like, thank you. I said, Lord, thank you for this food. There's power in saying thank you. There's power in giving thanks to God. So let's look at the things that take place. So let's look at this. John, the first chapter, sixth verse. It says, sometime after this, if you look at verse 5, chapter 5, it's talking about after Jesus, in fact, he was having a little bit of a tug of war with the Pharisees. But let's look, it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Just take that in mind. Whenever God asks you a question, he doesn't look for, he's not looking for an answer. He's looking for your reaction to the question. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves." They were about the size of a Twinkie. "And 2 small fish about the size of sardines. But how far will this go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered 12. They gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. The power of giving thanks. And in these verses of scripture, we see 5 things that Jesus gave thanks, or 5 things that happened after Jesus did this little bitty tiny thing. It doesn't say he did a whole bunch of talking. It doesn't say he stretched forth his hands. It doesn't say he did a whole bunch of, he just gave thanks. But before we go any further, I want you to look what Jesus is giving thanks for. I like the fact that John mentions that he gave thanks for these 5 barley loaves. Barley loaves were considered poor man's bread, poor man's food. And the fish, it wasn't salmon. It wasn't a red snapper. It wasn't mahi-mahi. It was like some sardines. And the only reason he had those little fish would be able to give that, those barley loaves a little bit of flavor. And Jesus was able to say thank you for that. I hear a lot of people say this, and it annoys me when they say this. "I don't eat this because that's poor folks' food." Or I've heard people say, "Oh, I don't like the way she cooks. She cooked like poor people." Let me tell you something. We ought to be thankful for whatever we have. Amen. Let me tell you something. There is no poor folks' food. There is no rich folks' food. It's food. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, be thankful." Jesus is giving thanks for these barley loaves. I told you they were about the size of a Twinkie, if they were that big. And these little bitty sardines that he's giving thanks. See, it's easy to give thanks for steak and ribs. Right? When I got ribs, it's easy to say thank you. When I got steak, it's easy to say. And you should be thankful for your steak and ribs. It's easy to give thanks when your clothes have a designer label. And you should give thanks when they have the designer label. It's easy to give thanks when the house is a 3-4 bedroom dwelling. And you should. It's easy to give thanks. When you got a bachelor's, when you got a master's, when you got a doctorate, it's easy and you should give thanks. But anybody can give thanks when you've got a six-figure income. And unfortunately, some people don't give thanks even when they've got that. But thanks is proven. Thanks is true. Thanks is real when you're willing to give thanks. You're willing to render thanks. You're willing to give God thanks over things that maybe some people might not consider to be thankworthy. Are you hearing me? He gave thanks over these barley loaves. But not only did Jesus, don't think Jesus just, you know, some people think, well, man, you just want us to eat poor folks' food. Stop. Because not only did Jesus give thanks for the barley loaves, Jesus gave thanks for the regular bread too. If you remember the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was going to be crucified, it says he took the bread and the wine. And this was not, it does not say these were barley loaves. It just says these were bread. And he took the bread and the wine and he gave thanks. There's power in giving thanks. There's so much power in giving thanks that when John recognized what happened with the 5,000, John does not call the place where the 5,000 were fed. John calls the place where the Lord gave thanks. People, there's power in saying thank you. There's power in it. And Jesus, not only did he give thanks over the bread the night that he was betrayed, but he gave thanks for bread that was going to be representing his broken body and his shed blood, because there's power in giving thanks. You know, we love to thank God for the good stuff, but you thank God in all things. Amen? We love to thank God when things, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But do we say thank you when it's just some barley loaves? When it's just some small fish. You notice how the disciples described it. Barley loaves and a few small fish. But when Jesus took it, I'm taking it. And the first thing I'm going to do with it before I do anything else with it is say thank you. Amen? Some of you need to go home and look in your cabinets, whether they are full or light, and say thank you. Look in your closet, whether the labels are designer or they just say in the inside shirt, say thank you. Well, I don't care if you're, you know, we got this thing now. You people spending $500 and $600 on a pocketbook. Whether you got a $500 pocketbook or you got a wallet, thank you. Amen? Whether you've got the greatest drink in the world or you've got water, thank you. Amen? There's power in the word thank you. So what five things do we find from Jesus feeding the multitudes that took place? It took place just from this word, thank you. These two words, he gave thanks. First thing, and they all begin with a P. You know how I am. I try to make it easy for you to remember. Provision was made. Jesus gave thanks over the barley loaves. He gave thanks over the good bread. He gave thanks over barley. He gave thanks over good bread. Why did he give thanks? Because that's what God had provided. That's what God had supplied. That's why you're giving thanks. Not because of what it is. You're giving thanks because God supplied it. Amen? Not because of what it is, but because God supplied it. In fact, this is what it says in 1 Timothy 4:4-5. I want everybody to turn there because we need to read this one together. It says, for everything God is created, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. God supplied it. Provision was made just out of saying thank you. Some of you, you're looking for God to provide you with something. There's something you're looking for. God says, I will give it to you, but I need you to be thankful. Amen? Amen? In fact, thankfulness is supposed to put emphasis on the supplier, not the need. Put emphasis on the provider, and his wisdom and his knowledge as to what you need according to his riches and glory. We love that verse in Philippians 4:19 that says, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we love to talk about, and I've heard preachers use this, and I don't have anything against it. They talk about God doesn't give you out of his riches. He gives you according to his riches. But let me tell you something about God's riches. God's riches don't just include streets of gold. God's riches don't just include gates of pearl. God's riches don't just include walls of jasper. God's riches don't just include the cattle on a thousand hills. God's riches and glory also includes God's wisdom. And God knows what you need. Are you hearing me? And sometimes when God supplies, he's not supplying according to what you want. In fact, God did not save you to give you what you want. God saved you to give you what he wants you to have. Amen? You got to thank God for what he supplies you with. Amen? Provision was made out of thank you. And sometimes that provision is going to be steak, but other times that provision could be barley loaves. In fact, we'll give thanks for everything we have and everything God supplies when we look at God as the one who supplies it. Amen? So whatever he supplies, be thankful. Amen? In fact, it says this in Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because he gave me a new car. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, because he gave me a new house. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, because he healed my body. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, because he did this thing or he did that thing. You should give thanks to God because he does things, but you should give thanks to God because of who he is. Healer is who he is. Supplier is who he is. Protection is who he is. That's why we're giving God thanks for who he is. What he does is who he is. Are you hearing me? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because for he is good, for he is merciful, for he is great, for he is God, for his mercy endures forever. I heard somebody say this, and I think it's worth repeating it. We need to give thanks to God for God. Amen? Amen? Give thanks to God for God. Give him the glory because of who he is. Amen? And then whatever he provides, I'm thankful for it because I'm thankful because of who he is. Because I'm thankful because he's the provider of it. Amen? Jesus gave thanks and God provided. When we give thanks, guess what? God provides. I don't know what you're looking for God to do for you, but it can start with giving thanks. Amen? I don't know what you're looking for God to provide for you, but it can start with giving thanks. So what was the first thing? Provision was made. The next word is a word that we don't use, but I needed a piece, so I grabbed it. I'll tell you what it means. Prolongation took place. You say, well, that's prolongation. What is that? That's a $10 way of saying Jesus multiplied. Jesus multiplied those five fish and those five loaves and those two fish out of the word given thing. He was able to extend them to not just feed one or two people. Do you realize it says there were 5,000 men? And we're not talking about a day like we live in. We're not talking about a day like we live in where folks is a day like we live in where folks, two children is all I'm going to have. One. You got three children now. You got a big family. And I understand the economics of it. But that's not how it was back in that day. Back in that day, having children meant you were blessed. In fact, even when the Bible talks about Jesus, it talks about him having sisters and brothers. It doesn't say sister and brother. It says sisters and brothers. So there was probably, even if they were families like we have, smaller families like we have today, there was at least 15,000 people. And because Jesus gave thanks, God was able to take that five loaves and those two fish and to multiply them. And it all came out of thank you. Some of you want God to do some multiplying in your life. Well, it can start with the word thank you. Amen. For some of you, you need God to do some multiplication. You need God to extend the funds that you have right now. Some of you, you might be in a situation where you have more month than money. Anybody ever been in that situation? Where you got more month than money? You got your own personal equivalent of barley loaves. But let me tell you something. If we would give thanks, God can take that less money and more month, and he can extend it. Are you hearing me? And it all starts with thank you. It all starts with thank you. And God will multiply if we would just say thank you. In fact, have you ever had somebody, or you did something for somebody, and after you did it for them, because they were thankful, you want to do even more for them? You ever gave somebody something and they were so thankful, you say, I wish I would have given even more. I remember there was somebody in the church one time, and there was something that I had promised to give them, and it took years before I was able to give it to them. I mean, it literally took years. And the Sunday that I gave it to them, they were so thankful, they started crying. And I said, Lord, I wish I had given them even more than what I gave them. I wish I could have multiplied this. But guess what? I wished I could have multiplied it. We serve a God who can multiply it. Are you hearing me? So when we are thankful, the thing you are thankful for, God can multiply it if you will begin to say thank you. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God can increase. God can extend. But God needs to hear us say thank you. What was the first one? Second one. That's a word you're never going to use again. But anyway, you can just put multiply. Third, problems were solved. Problems were solved. You know, some of you, us, we got problems. Some of us, we got family problems. Some of us, we've got financial problems. Some of us, we have health problems. Some of us, we have marital problems. Some of us, we got relationship problems. Just like the disciples had a problem. How are we going to feed this many people? Well, what Jesus was saying to them is the same thing Jesus is saying to us. You know how you're going to feed this many people? It's going to start with you saying thank you. How many of you got a problem in your life right now that you want God to come through on? How many of you got a situation in your life right now that you would be thrilled right now if God would come through on that situation? Let me tell you something. God will come through. Just start saying thank you. Amen? Just begin to say thank you, Lord. In fact, that Thanksgiving food that I was saying didn't have much flavor, didn't have much this, didn't have much. When I started saying thank you for it, the flavor seemed like it picked up. Are you hearing me? Say thank you. Problems are going to be solved. Some of you going through some stuff. You like, I don't know. How am I going to do this? You know how you're going to start? You're going to start with saying thank you for what you've already done, Lord. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus took the little that was there. Whatever you see that is there. He took the little that was there and said he lifted it up to God and said thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, there's power in the thank you. Number four. What was number three? What was number two? Say multiplied. Don't even say prolongation. That's just a word to give me a peek. Number one, provision. God provided. God multiplied. God solved problems when they said thank you. Number four, real easy. Plenty was had by all. There was a surplus. You know, we talk about this thing and everybody gets all excited about it, of living in the overflow. Well, in order to live in some type of overflow with God, you're going to have to be thankful for what God is already supplying. Amen? And let me tell you something about being thankful. Being thankful is not sitting up waiting until you get what you want to be thankful. Thankful is being thankful for what you have right now. Amen? That's thankful. A lot of us, we're thankful and we'll praise God when we think about what He's going to do. We need to be thanking God for what He's doing right at this moment. Plenty was had by all. They lived a life of plenty by saying thank you. It says each one of them had all that they wanted. Some of your Bibles say each one of them ate till they were full. Some of your Bibles say each one of them ate until they were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets of fish and loaves. Thank you will cause plenty to operate in your life. There will be a surplus. In fact, the word of God says this in Psalms 37. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Have you ever thought about this? God can cause you to desire what you have so that you have what you want. I think you need to get that. God can cause you to desire what you have so you can have what you want. You've heard me say this many times. I remember when I was younger and living on my own and didn't have a whole lot of money. And I couldn't really afford them nice sodas and nice drinks. So you know what God did for me? God put a desire in my heart for water. Now I love water. God can cause you to want what you have, so you have what you want. Amen? Amen? That applies in other areas. You could be married to a knucklehead, and don't nobody else like him. Can't nobody else stand her. But God will cause you to like what you have so you have what you want. Amen? You can be the type of person, you can have clothes that other people look at you and say, well, they dress so weird. That's why we look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And just because that person's not dressed just like we want them to be dressed, God has put that in their heart. They like what they have, therefore they are having what they want. Are you hearing me? You say to yourself, how do they live in that small dwelling place? In fact, I've seen this show on HGTV called Tiny House. I'm like, what's wrong with them people? Have you ever seen those houses? And those people, when they walk in the house, they're like, oh, this is so nice. Something supernatural going on with that. But the same way they can live in those tiny houses and be happy with those tiny houses, God can put that desire in your heart. He can cause you to like what you have, so want what you have, so you have what you want. Amen? Amen? Surplus. More than enough. Amen? Amen? Thankfulness will lead to surplus. Surplus. In fact, when you say thank you, you know what the surplus is? That's God's way of saying you're welcome. Are you hearing me? When you say thank you, the surplus, the making you pleased with what God has provided is God's way of saying you're welcome. And we need to say, in fact, it says God is pleased with our attitude of gratitude when we say thank you. I mean, when He gives us a surplus. Amen? Amen? Number 5. This is the last one. But this one, you don't find it in the feeding of the 5,000. This one you find it in the feeding of the 4,000. And you find that in Matthew and Mark. In fact, this feeding of the 5,000 is so significant to God and so real to him. This is, he puts it in all four of the Gospels. But this feeding of the 4,000 is only in two Gospels. But one of the things that we see in the feeding of the 4,000. And in the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, you know, these people have come a long way. He says, they've been with me all day. And because they've been with me all day, I don't want them to faint along the way. I don't want them to pass out. I don't want them to collapse. And then he says to them, you give them something to eat. And you have the same situation. Only thing different is the amount. There's 7 loaves and a few fish. But Jesus does the same thing he always does. He takes it and he gives thanks. He takes it and he gives thanks. And guess what took place out of the Thanksgiving? Life is preserved. There's preservation of life. Some of you want God to do some things. You want God to keep some things. You want God to restore some things. You want God to let some things last. But God says, start saying thank you. Start saying thank you. But listen to me. Right? Listen, say amen. There's a flip side. There's power in saying thank you. But the flip side of that is there is also power in ingratitude. There's a power that takes place in complaining. Have you ever complained? Has anybody in here ever complained? There's a flip side. Because some of us were saying, God, I'm giving, I'm giving, I'm giving. God, I keep giving. I'm putting it in. I'm putting that check in the envelope. God, I'm giving tithe and offering. God, what's going on? God says, are you mixing your giving with complaining? Are you mixing it with complaining? As Haggai would say, you need to consider your ways. Some people are saying, I'm praying, and I'm even fasting. But God says, are you mixing your prayer and fasting with complaining? Go with me to Philippians 4, 6, 6 and 7. Are you there yet? Look what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Look what it says in Colossians 4:2. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Giving. Let me tell you something. Thanksgiving is powerful, but ingratitude is also powerful. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 10:1. When you get this, amen. It says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate of the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, if you go down to the 6th verse, it says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. Romans talks about that in Romans 1:21. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. In verse 9, it says, we should not test Christ as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, whom the culmination of the ages has come. You're not going to get the same thing, but there's power in ingratitude. The same way there's power in thanksgiving, there's power in ingratitude. There's power when it comes to complaining. See, when we're ungrateful, instead of God providing, God will provide, but we won't see it because we're complaining. I often think this time of year about our little thing we play with the game. And I remember one year, I'll never forget it. I got a mirror. And I'm sitting there with that mirror thinking, oh, I'm going to get rid of this mirror. I wish somebody would take this mirror. Somebody take this mirror. Who wants this mirror? Nobody took that mirror. Meanwhile, I'm at home cutting my hair with a little shard of glass. And the Holy Spirit was like, go get the mirror. I was like, Lord, that's why you didn't let nobody take that mirror. See, God will bless, but if we're not thankful, we won't even see the blessings. Are you hearing me? Look at your name and say, ingratitude has power. Ingratitude can blind you to what God is doing for you. Are you hearing me? Instead of multiplication, we see decrease because of ingratitude. Instead of God preserving life, we lose life. Instead of problems being solved, there is power in complaining because your problem becomes bigger. Anybody ever have a problem and you start complaining about it and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? And it's not really as big as it is. It's as big as you've complained it into. You a wife, you got a husband, he go to work every day. But you complain about him like he just, I'll never forget my brother. The brother I'm talking about. Coming home, his wife was a monster in that car on the way home. He was thinking that somebody, she better run, she better, she ain't, probably ain't even, by the time he got to the house, he ready to start fussing before he even get in the door. He gets in the door. The house is smelling like food. The house is clean. But his complaining made a big problem. If he would have sat in that car and said, Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for what you can accomplish through her. I thank you that you made her the mother of my children. I thank you. And when he walked in the house, God would have multiplied and solved any problem that he might have had. But instead, he had to walk in the house and ask God to forgive him because he made a bigger problem than was there. Are you hearing me? Some of us, we're making ourselves some big problems by our complaining. Amen? Let me tell you something. Look at your name and say this. You're not as bad off as you think. You know why you're not as bad off as you think? Because no matter what's going on in your life, God is working it out. God causes all things to work together for your good. God is working it out. You are not as bad off as you think. Some of the people in your life are not as bad as you think. But if you keep talking about them and complaining about them, they get worse and worse and worse. Some of the people in your life are doing things that they're not doing. They're doing things in your mind. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you something. If I listen to the devil, some of y'all are doing things in my mind. Some of y'all are worse off than y'all are.
I'm serious. And I know I'm worse off than, to some of you than I am. But seriously. Ingratitude has it has power. In fact, some of us, don't talk yourself into illness. Amen? How many? I remember this one woman, she was preaching, and I don't remember. She was preaching about what her daughter had said to her, Mom, I've been feeling bad all day. And guess what she says, I have been thinking terrible thoughts about her all day long. Let me tell you something, people, there is power. He's making declarations, but you will never see him complain before these people cut God. Third one, come up with more. Colossians 3:17. Go with me, and we're going to read that, and we're going to end with it. Whatever you do, whatever you got to do, but you need, you thought you'd like the way. Thanks. For Father, that is your gift. You are. Have done is who. Thank you. We give. Complain, but that was saying how to. Most of these people can get what a third of them. I have something that God had. Fourth, thanksgiving. And we, Colossians 3:17. Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. You put of the Lord Jesus. For Father, that is your chain. And what you have done is who you are. We revoke it our. And we rid it. Thank you. Just put you on the throne. And we enter your gate. And Father, thank you. Amen. They could come up more. Our giving, no matter what. Colossians celebrated with this. Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for how you're working it out. Driving in that vehicle, and in your vehicle. And what you're. Lord, we worship you. We revoke. We dethrone ingratitude in our lives. We revoke its power. And we replace it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving of the Father through him. Whatever you do, give thanks. Tomorrow when that boss acts a certain way, Jesus. You might have to go in there. You may have to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I give it to you in thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord. You're working it out. When you go home today and some press come, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that get ready. Make it a minute to eat a meal, and that meal might not be what you want. Exactly what you want to eat. Thank you, Jesus. When you're putting something on your back, and it might not be exactly what you'd like, Thank you, Jesus. When you're driving in that vehicle, and it might not be the dream vehicle, Jesus. If you're a tiny big house, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You did everything. And even more, Lord, now and because of who you are. And we thank you for all that you've done, all you're doing, all that you're going to do. And right now, Lord, we revoke, we dethrone ingratitude in our lives. We revoke its power and we replace it with thanksgiving. And Ted will. So pray, people, you never get. That we would understand, Lord, it's not about a church. It's not about a family. Not about a family. Friend. Lord, it's about your group. Even more than that, it's about who you are. Because what you're doing is who you are. Have done who you are. It's who you are. It's what you're doing and what you're going to do. Any more than that, Lord, it's about who you are. We give. Lord, it's who you are. What you have done is who you are. But who you are is who. So, Lord, we thank you. You're Jehovah Shalom. You thanks. Lord, now always, Lord, we worship you for who you are. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Nisi. You're Jehovah Shalom. Lord, we worship you because of who you are. And we thank you for all that you've done, all you're doing, all that you're going to do. And right now, Lord, we revoke, we dethrone ingratitude in our lives. We revoke its power and we replace it with thanksgiving. Lord, ingratitude has had too much power over our minds, over our families, our finances, over our lives. But we revoke what we were. Put in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we say thank you for these communion emblems. Same way, Lord, and you gave Father to give us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Lord, we say thank you for these communion emblems. The same way, Lord, you took them and you break. Jesus. The same way you took one of that thing and you break. Thanks. Say, for body. Flow of life, bring us to us, and Father.